Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
FS DGen Nation, what is up? What has happened? We are on to week 15 and currently witnessing this bloodbath of a game where the Raiders are pounding the Chargers 49-7. So, hate to see it. But anyways, so we're here to talk about this week 15 main slate. There is a three-game slate on Saturday, but we're going to focus on the main slate here on this one. And I do think that this slate, there's quite a few paths to go here with this game, whether you're wanting to or whatnot with this slate, whether it's paying up for a Josh Allen or Dak Prescott or paying down in this kind of middle range where a lot of people just say it, the chalk of the week is going to be Matt Stafford against the Commanders right now with the Commanders just getting annihilated every single week through the air. So, Maddie, what are you looking to do this week at the quarterback position?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of take the words right out of my mouth. It's really hard not to like Stafford. And I mean, if we press rewind on our podcast this year, I mean, how many weeks at the start of the season did we bang the drum for Matt Stafford? And, you know, every single week he was eclipsing 300 yards. He just wasn't getting in the touchdowns. And Kyren Williams was stealing all the touchdowns. And then they bring in, you know, Henderson and they run Akers out there for a week or two. And, you know, Royce Freeman and those guys are still scoring touchdowns. And, you know, now all of a sudden Stafford is starting to pick it up in the touchdown department. And he's really cheap in what is the best on matchup on paper, is throwing the ball against the Washington Commanders defense. So 6K for Matt Stafford. I'm not going to overthink that. I think you can double stack him with both Puka and Cooper Kupp. I think you can play one of the two and play DeMarcus Robinson, assuming Tutu is out, because then he should be locked into the third wide receiver role, which I haven't looked for an update on Tutu yet, but we can, you know, kind of dive into that more as we get to receiver. But it's just really hard not to like the Rams here. They're at home. Washington stinks. It's, you know, the analysis doesn't really need to be much more than that. So that's my first click of the week would be Stafford. And then sticking to the cheaper side of QB is probably where I'm going to end up this week. I really like Jordan Love, and they're coming off a stinker where they just went on the road to New York. It had all the makings of a letdown game, right? They just beat the Chiefs at home. Coming off that massive win, now you're going to New York playing Tommy DeVito and the Giants, who are really struggling to really put up results in the win column this year. And it's like, you know, Packers were hot, Giants were not. And then, you know, the Giants come out and pretty much owned that Packers offense most of the night. And the Packers really didn't put up hardly any points. So this is such a good bounce back spot for Jordan Love, though, at home against Tampa Bay, which we've been attacking Tampa Bay the same way we've been attacking Washington. We just saw Desmond Ridder light them up last week, and the Falcons are a team that doesn't even want to throw the ball. The defense for Tampa Bay is banged up still. And the big thing for Jordan Love here is I think Aaron Jones is going to end up playing, but I don't think he's going to get the full workload. But also AJ Dillon is probably going to, AJ Dillon's questionable. He apparently broke his thumb last week. So I guess that's a matter of whether he can hold the ball or not, as to whether they're comfortable with running him out there. Cause if not, you know, then he becomes a fumble risk. So, you know, we could get 4,200 Patrick Taylor as a viable option, running back this week as well. If Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon were to be out again. But all that to say, it's also just it's just such a setting up for such a good spot for Jordan Love to smash. if he's with, you know, he's got running backs that are dealing with injuries, and Tampa Bay has been this awful pass defense as it is. And his receivers are cheap. You know, why Jaden Reed continues to be priced under 5K is just, it blows my mind. You know, Watson has already been slated. They already confirmed he's not practicing tomorrow. And I don't know that I've ever seen a report, you know, that's come out and said, you know, hey, Watson's not practicing today and he's not going to practice tomorrow either. So that should, you know, give you an idea that he's not going to play this weekend. So that really narrows down the targets there in that offense to pretty much Dobbs and Jaden Reed, because the Green Bay, the other receivers, Watson and Wicks are dealing with, you know, more significant injuries and both of those guys may not even play. So we may get, you know, Malik Heath at 3K as well. So it becomes a very concentrated receiving core, and it's very cheap. And Jordan Love himself is also very cheap at 6,200. So I really like the Packers. I really like the Rams. Those are probably going to be my two main offenses from a passing standpoint, because we know where all the production is going to go, and they're in really good spots, and they're definitely affordable. Obviously, yes, you can pay up for Josh Allen. You can pay up for Dak Prescott. I don't have any issues with that. I'm not paying for Tua. If Tyreek's limited at all, you know, he looked not like the same Tua, you know, when Tyreek is on the field, when Tyreek was out last week. Mahomes at New England, no thanks. Stroud, no idea if he even plays. I would say the one pay up that I do have interest in would be Justin Fields. So Cleveland, you know, is also dealing with a couple injuries on the defensive side of the ball. They just lost Grant Delpit to IR. They're big time safety. One of their defensive ends is out as well. Check me on pronunciation or I can't even remember the guy's name. I think it's OKO or I don't know. Beats me, but he's a big name that's out this week for them. So it's a good spot for Fields. I know it's on the road, and I know they've got a red number one next to Cleveland's name in the DVP. But Fields has looked really good ever since he came back from injury. We know he's going to utilize his legs as much as he can. I mean, he had 45 rushing yards in the first quarter last week and then just stopped running for the rest of the game. I think the Lions made it a priority to kind of, you know, focus all their attention on his running game. So they're a division opponent, though, so they, you know, have more experience working against Justin Fields, whereas Cleveland is, you know, it's AFC-NFC battle, so it's not as much familiarity there. So if I was paying up, I'd probably just play Fields personally, but I really like Jordan Love and I really like Matt Stafford. That's where I'm pretty much going to live this week.
I think Stafford is going to get priced up to a crazy amount let's talk about Brock Purdy. He's $6,800. It feels like that, you know, we keep trying to avoid the obvious thing, and the obvious thing has been Brock Purdy. He has scored 23 or more DK points in four of his last five games. He's hit the 300-yard bonus in three of his last five games. It is a great matchup against the Arizona Cardinals. And for whatever reason, DraftKings just refuses to price this man up at all. You know, it's like a very slow, methodical move up. You know, he scores 32 against Philadelphia. He's 6,100. And the next week, he's 6,500, and he drops 25 DK points. He has a 29-point performance in there as well in this span. I mean, the dude has just been incredible, honestly, so far this year. And a lot of it is hats off to the weapons that he has, because when you have George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey, like, he is certainly making the most out of that. And so if Matthew Stafford is going to be chalk, and I've seen some places early have guys like DeMarcus Robinson at 20% owned, no thank you am I playing that roulette wheel of I know he just had a big game last week, but that is not something that I would expect again. The one thing I do like about Matthew Stafford is he does have a pretty concentrated target share, right? It's very much like Tua. You know where the ball is going to go. It's going to go to Puka. It's going to go to Cooper Kupp. They account for over 60% of the team's targets on any given week. So it is an easier stack where you have Purdy, where you have the other variables in there, trying to figure out if it's Deebo, or it's Brandon Ayuk, is it George Kittle, or Christian McCaffrey as kind of the options to pair him with, the double stack. And now, the one thing I will bring up with him is his pass catchers have now been finally priced up. Brandon Ayuk is $7,200, and Debo Samuel is $7,700, and then George Kittle is $5,800. Not as bad. And then obviously Christian McCaffrey is $9,300. So like, you got to really want it to get there with Brock Purdy because of how expensive his weapons are. But he remains one of the safer options we have on any given week. He continues outside of week 12 against Seattle, where they won 31-13. They didn't have to do a whole lot. And so he wasn't really asked to really to do a whole lot. But other than that, the man's been a walking 20-plus DK point, and we've seen some ceiling him with 32 and 29. And so it's just hard to really get away from that at his price at $6,800. So I do agree. I do like Jordan Love as well. This is another matchup that we'd love to target against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has been terrible against the pass all year. And so Jordan Love at $6,200 in a bounce back spot. And like you mentioned, I mean, his pass catchers are extremely cheap, mm-hmm. whether it's Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, Romeo Doubs, I think all are in play that you can look at there. So Jordan Love is somebody that I definitely think you should have some interest in this week at $6,200 with just good leverage off of Matthew Stafford. I don't mind Sam Howell either at $6,300. Sam Howell, you know, obviously takes a ton of sacks, but he is somebody that has been pretty solid. I mean, you have to go back all the way back to week 7, the last time he didn't score 20 DK points. So he's also been pretty consistent for the most part this year. He's also utilized his legs a little bit. Not a ton, but just a little bit to get you there. Kind of like an Alex Smith type where he can get you there. And he does have some rushing touchdowns. He actually has 4 rushing touchdowns over his last 3 games. So Sam Howell, I think at $6,300 too, if you want direct leverage off of Matthew Stafford, I think $6,300 Sam Howell, I think you can also look there as well. In terms of the pay-up options, obviously, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott. I mean, this game is the highest total on the slate, I believe, or at least it was at one point. But it is up there in terms of implied team totals. And, you know, obviously, these two teams could be fireworks. Now, we kind of thought that a little bit last week with the Chiefs and the Bills, but that didn't really get there. But either way, but again, it's kind of a similar situation where these guys are very expensive at what they cost at 82 and 8K. This game is tied right now with the Rams and Commanders game. They're both 50.5 point totals. So I think when these are going to be the kind of two games, and I think more people are going to gravitate towards the Stafford because of just how cheap he is at 6K compared to having to pay up for Josh Allen or Dak Prescott at their respective prices. But that game could absolutely go nuclear with these two offenses.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm on board with all that. And I like the Purdy call too.
Yeah. The only other one I'm going to say is Patrick Mahomes at $7,800. He is going to be free. Nobody's going to play him. I shouldn't say free, but nobody's going to play him at all. He is going to get no ownership. He's probably going to come in sub 5%. I don't like bringing up like opinions like this because like it's not rooted in anything, but I just feel like that this Chiefs team is going to come out to prove a point this week. There's been a lot of talk from them, especially from like, I don't know if you listen to like the New Heights podcast and stuff like that, but like Travis Kelce went on like a rant about how he's sick and tired of hearing all this stuff and everybody can go fuck themselves. Basically. It sounds just like they're really fired up. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes liking people's tweets that are kind of talking shit about the Chiefs and stuff like that. Like, so I don't know. I just feel like the Patriots aren't going anywhere, but it's probably super thin because he has $7,800 and the Patriots defense has been pretty good, but I don't know. Like if you're wanting like a super contrarian option, I do think Patrick Mahomes at $7,800. I think that's not really based on anything positive because that game total is not great either because the Patriots so low. That it opened at a 46.5. It's down to 37. Even the Chiefs are only have a 22.75 implied team total, which opened at 27.5. But the Patriots have a 14-point team total, so it's kind of gross. So yeah,
I mean, I'm just going back and looking at Patriots versus like good teams they've played this year. They give up 25 to Philly, 24 to Miami, 38 to Dallas, 25 to Buffalo, 31 to Miami. So I mean, and all the rest of the offenses are just awful that they've played. So I mean, they have given up like semi good games to opposing, you know, good offenses, but it's not like anything that like breaks the slate from, especially with Mahomes' price. I mean, I get it for sure. I get the motivation standpoint, but at the same time, it's not like they're out there not trying to win, you know, the other 14 weeks they've already played either. So
the Raiders are really trying to rival the Dolphins. It is now 63-7.
Oh, God. Oh, I see they scored another defensive touchdown.
Yeah. Sad, because in my home league, I was debating on picking them up and playing them. I ended up not doing so. They're at 31 right now. The defense is. That's incredible. Anyways, all right. With that being said, is there anything else you want to hit on? I do want to mention there is some weather concerns as well. I know we didn't really talk about Tua against the Jets, but that game right now has a pretty strong chance of rain with winds, 20-mile-an-hour sustained winds, gusts up to 35 miles an hour. So that is a game we're definitely going to have to monitor here with that game. So I just want to point that out there. But if that holds, I'll have no interest whatsoever in that passing game.
Yeah, same.
Like last week, like what I will say right now is that like we thought a lot of this about last week about the weather and situations and stuff like that. Like we got off Baltimore. I remember you saying this correctly. I believe you said this, that if it wasn't for the weather, that you'd be all in on the Baltimore game and playing Lamar yep. Jackson. Mm-hmm. And that ended up being the nut spot, and the weather wasn't really a factor. So,
yeah, that's how she goes sometimes, I guess.
Yeah. So I do think that we overanalyze weather and we put too much stock in it at times, because one, it's only Wednesday or Thursday, excuse me. This can change quite a bit. And I don't really care about the rain, just the wind. But if it is over 20 miles an hour, that's when we do see it really affect quarterback play. So I did want to mention that. But other than that, let's if you want, like, go ahead and move over to running backs, because I don't really have a whole lot else to talk about. Like in the really cheapy range of quarterbacks, I don't have any interest. I'm not playing Zach Wilson. I'm not playing Bailey Zappe. Desmond Ridder has been fun. Like, and he's had some, you know, some ceiling performances, but Carolina's pass defense has been really good. Will Levis, $5,400. I'm not excited to play that at all, especially with what looks to be CJ Stroud out and really all their weapons are going to be out. So I'm not playing Will Levis. I don't think he needs to get there. Joe Flacco has been a fun story as well, but low key, Chicago's pass defense has been really good this really, especially lately, especially the last 5 to 6 weeks. They've allowed less than it's like 186 passing yards per game over the last six games. They've also, over the last three of the last four games, they have held opponents to under 13 points total. So I'm not excited about playing Joe Flacco at $5,500. Tommy DeVito maybe is the only one you might be able to talk me into if you want to get a little wild. But he has shown a little bit of a ceiling in terms of running the ball. I mean, he did last week against Green Bay. He had 10 carries for 71 yards. And then a couple weeks before that against Dallas, he had 7 carries for 41 yards. So there's a little bit there. He hasn't really shown much of a ceiling in terms of the passing game, but they are sounds like they're going to get Darren Waller back. So that should help that offense. If you really wanted to pay down in large field stuff, I think Tommy DeVito would be the guy that I would look to do that with. But other than that, any of the other cheaper guys, I'm just not really all that interested in. I don't think you need to go there this week. So let's move over to the running back position, and you start things off with Christian McCaffrey up top at $9,300, Alvin Kamara at $8,600, Kyren Williams at $75, Saquon at $73, and then you have Achan and Mostert in the 7K range, along with Rashad White. The 6K range is Derrick Henry, Isaiah Pacheco, who I don't expect to play, and then Bijan, Tony Pollard, Aaron Jones, Breece Hall, James Cook, and Brian Robinson Jr. are all in the 6K range and above. So what are you looking to do at running back this week?
Running back's pretty straightforward for me. I mean, it's hard to not play Christian McCaffrey. I think 9,300 in this matchup is too cheap. I think he's going to smash again at Arizona. He's had a lack of touchdowns over the last couple of weeks. I know he had two against Seattle in week 12. But, you know, ever since that Jacksonville game where he broke his streak, he's had 0, 1, 2, 1, and 0, which he had a touchdown in like 16 or 17 straight games. And most of those games were games where he had two. He regularly goes over 100 yards and catches passes. Like, it's just really hard to not play him. And I think that a lot of people are going to talk themselves into playing like this 7 to 7,500 K range. And it's like, if I'm going to play like, and this is not against, this is not a knock on Kyren Williams, right? Because Kyren Williams has been really good this year. But if Kyren Williams is going to be one of the most popular running backs on the slate at $7,500 against Washington, who's actually been okay against the run and have been abysmal against the pass, why not just find the $1,800 more and play McCaffrey? Like, if I'm paying $7K for Rashad White, why not just find $2,300 more for McCaffrey? Like, I'm totally fine with playing Rashad White when he's $6K and it's, you know, $3,300 less than McCaffrey. But when you start to get like the 2K range, like, it's really not that big of a difference, you know, between what wide receiver or tight end it gets you, or even a defense. Like, that's like a difference between like a, you know, a 2K defense and a 3.5K defense, or, you know, a 3K tight end and a 4.5K tight end. Like, the difference at the other positions it's marginally smaller. And so I like the idea of playing McCaffrey if all these 7K guys are going to be popular, because I think it's going to squeeze ownership on him. I think he's still going to be played, but I don't think he's going to be, you know, rostered as much as he should be. And then from there, you know, Kyren's fine. I like Stafford a lot, so I probably won't play Kyren, even though you can play both of them because Kyren has pass game usage. I like, if Achane were to sit, I really like Mostert, and I still like Mostert in the spot anyways. But Achane's dealing with a toe injury, which is different than what he's been missing practices and games for in the past. So that's something to monitor. Mostert is just a touchdown machine. And if Tyreek plays or Tyreek doesn't play, that's you know, win game you were just talking about. You know, so there could be more incentive to run the ball there. Either way, Mostert's a good play against a Jets run D that's been susceptible all year. I mentioned Rashad White. He's an awesome run back on the other side of the Jordan Love stacks if you're playing that game. If you're not playing that game, I think White's, you know, he's still a decent play, but 7K just feels like that's his ceiling. But if you're game stacking it makes a ton of sense. I like Bijan at 6,800 against Carolina. That we've attacked that matchup all year. Tony Pollard finally looks like the explosive running back that we're used to seeing. He's cheap for what his talent and his role is in that offense. 6,700. If you're not playing Dak, that's a great way to get exposure to that offense. So I really like Pollard this week as well. And I think Pollard's going to be overlooked when you compare him to, you know, Bijan and Rashad White and Kyren Williams. And like when you flip the cards over and ownership shows on Sunday, I think you're going to be shocked at Pollard's ownership. I think he's going to come in much lower than those other guys. I think he's going to be around like 10 to 15%, honestly. And those other guys are probably going to be, you know, 25 to 30. So wouldn't be shocked to see that. Zeke is another one. Zeke's probably the most interesting play of the slate from a standpoint that he's going to be the most popular running back play of the slate. And I know he's 5,800 and he's a starting running back. And he had 8 targets last week. He caught 7 of them for 70 yards and a touchdown. And that's been the Chiefs' issue this year, right? Is we saw it last week too with James Cook, is they struggle to defend pass catching running backs. And if that's going to be Zeke's role, you know, it's kind of a hard fade at 5,800. Like, even if Zeke doesn't get in the end zone last week, he still scores 21 DK points. And at 5,800, 21 DK points is really good at the running back position. You'll take that every day, every time, every day of the week. So I think Zeke is interesting. And even though he's going to be really, really, really popular, I still have interest. I don't think he's just a smash play lock, but I definitely think that he's in consideration. And that's assuming, and I mean, Stevenson has a Q tag, but I'm assuming he's going to be out. And then the other, you know, the other cheap back this week would be Patrick Taylor if Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon were to be out, because Patrick Taylor does have pass game ability, and he averaged, you know, he's not a bad running back by any means. He's not a good one, but I mean, 4,200 gets you a lot. So I really like him as well if he's the last man standing there in Green Bay. So that's pretty much where I stand this week.
So for me, I think when you look at the running back position, I think there's a couple different directions we could go. I definitely think 100% Kyren Williams is in play, and I think he's probably one of the best plays on the slate. I get it. So if he's going to come in lower ownership because of Stafford, I think that's a mistake. The Commanders do struggle against the run at times. But Kyren Williams' workload is elite. His workload is right there with Christian McCaffrey. His usage and his ability to put up production is right there. He's on the season. I mean, he is the number two in terms of DK points scored, right? I mean, Kyren Williams, and he sees a heavy workload, 83% of the rush attempts, 75% of the routes. He's been efficient, 9th in yards created per touch, 8th in yards per touch on the season. And he's been really good. He's averaging over 20 DK points per game. And so he's only $7,500. I think that is a big enough gap between him and Christian McCaffrey that it shouldn't be that big of a gap. And so I do think Kyren Williams at $7,500. And then Saquon Barkley right below him is in a really good spot. The Saints have really struggled to stop running backs as of recently. Over the last four games, they've allowed a league-high 191 rushing yards per game. They've also allowed the 13th highest explosive run rate and third in yards after contact per attempt. And then if you look at Saquon, he's really started to play much better over the last 4 weeks. He's averaging 20.1 DK points per game. And he also ranks 5th in explosive run rate, 14th in yards after contact per attempt. And he's handling 74% of the team rush attempts with almost 20% target share. So Saquon Barkley is much cheaper than I think that he should be. I think he should be more expensive. I mean, $7,300 Saquon just feels entirely too cheap. He should be a player that's probably in the 8K range, and he's not. And so at $7,300 against the Saints defense, I am on board to play him, no problem. Derrick Henry, the yearly December Houston Texans with really bad quarterback play is back, and you know they are playing Houston Texans this week. And so Derrick Henry, $6,900. You know, he is game script dependent, but I find it hard to believe that Davis Mills is going to really push the Titans here. And so Derrick Henry at $6,900, I think he can smash that price. I totally agree with you on Tony Pollard. Don't need to go any more into that. Another one that I don't know if you talked about, but Brian Robinson has missed Wednesday and Thursday with practice, which makes Antonio Gibson at $5,200 and a very enticing play. You know, we know that he can handle a full workload. Obviously, he was the lead back prior to Brian Robinson. He's also going to be the pass catching back. So if you do expect them to fall behind, I think he's actually a really solid run back option if you want to do that in this Rams game, if you're stacking up that game. He's $5,200. He is much cheaper than I think that he probably should be. And so against the Rams here. And like I said, I mean, it's him and Chris Rodriguez. And Chris Rodriguez is just a grinder back. We kind of saw it the last time they played last time the Commanders played when Brian Robinson went down. Gibson is one that really handled the majority of the touches. And so I just think Antonio Gibson, $5,200, it doesn't sound like Brian Robinson's going to play at this point, especially coming off their bye and he's still not practicing. I think that's about all you need to know there with that one. And so other than that, like, I mean, there's going to be another debate this week with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Isaiah Pacheco is probably not going to play between him and McKinnon. I don't really love it, either one of them. And to be honest with you, I don't really love Clyde Edwards-Helaire at all because it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And he tends to get subbed out once they get inside the red zone. So he doesn't get those touches. And then usually goes to Jerick McKinnon. So I don't really love playing Clyde Edwards-Helaire, even though he's 5K. So he's going to see touches. The only good argument you can make is that the Chiefs are 10-point favorites in this game, and if the Chiefs can have their way and the way the Chiefs' defense is playing, maybe he does see, you know, 18 to 20 touches here. That could be in the range of possibility. Other than that, I think when you look at the rest of these running backs, you know, you talked about Zeke. I think he's going to be way too popular than what he should be. I get it. I think he could get there in the pass catching department. I don't expect him to get there on the ground, but he could get there. I mean, he's a player. I mean, he had a 26% target share last week, which is absolutely ridiculous when it comes to that, right? I mean, that's just not something you typically see. So it's just they have no other pass catchers. They have no other weapons here. So that is something that you could look at with Zeke. But I don't really love the play, I think, especially if he's going to be, you know, chalk this week. But other than that, you know, outside of the players you already hit on, I don't think I really need to go any further in terms of these other guys. I agree with some of the players you talked about. But other than that, like, I really just wanted to highlight, especially Antonio Gibson. I felt like he was in a really good spot here. I do agree with you with Raheem Mostert here. The Jets have struggled against the run this year. They have allowed the 14th most rushing yards on the season. But game script is really going to depend here. But if this turns into be a rain game, I definitely think that is something that a situation you could look at. Other than that, I don't think there's a whole lot else to hit on in terms of other options. So think we can go ahead and move over to wide receiver here. Wide receiver position, you have Tyreek up top at $9,900. So you have, like, to me, Tyreek Hill has to absolutely smash, right? To really beat you at $9,900. And if we're looking at this weather, probably not going to have a lot of Tyreek Hill, honestly. So CeeDee Lamb at $9,200. Then you have Stephon Diggs at $8,400. And Stephon Diggs has been on a really bad cold streak. I think he scored like six or fewer points in four straight games. Three of the last four games, excuse me, because he did have 19 against the Eagles. But other than that, he's been right rocking six fantasy points or DK points. And then you have Kupp, Samuel, Evans, Waddle, Nacua, Brandon Ayuk, and Chris Olave, and Nico Collins in the seventh carries. But I don't think Nico Collins plays. He hasn't practiced all week. I highly doubt he plays. And then you have DJ Moore, Adam Thielen, DeAndre Hopkins, Rashee Rice, Amari Cooper in the 6K range. So what are you doing at wide receiver?
So I'll start down at the bottom. So we already mentioned Green Bay, so we'll just talk through their situation real quick. So again, I'm projecting Watson's going to miss this game, and Wicks did get in a limited practice today. So I think he's going to end up playing. So the starting receiver trio should end up being Dobbs, Reed, and Wicks, which two of those guys paired with Love makes for a phenomenal stack this weekend. I really like that a lot. Those guys are way too cheap. Wicks is only 4K. Jaden Reed is 4,900. Again, I'm not sure why he doesn't get priced up over 5K. And then Dobbs is 5,300, which we saw Dobbs earlier in the season go. He was one of the more consistent receivers, where he was consistently scoring, you know, 18 DK points on a week in and week out basis without Christian Watson in the lineup. So I think the Green Bay receivers are a focal point for me, given how cheap they are. So I wanted to mention with them being so cheap that I think they're a very important piece to the slate, and I wanted to call them out first. So that's where I'm kind of starting teams is with at least one of those pieces and definitely two if you're playing Jordan Love. And then at the top, it's really hard not to like CeeDee Lamb. He continues to smash week in and week out. 9,200 is finally a fair price tag for him. Diggs, you mentioned Diggs has kind of fallen off the map the last couple of weeks, but this is what I think is actually a really good matchup for Diggs. We've seen Dallas get burned by better offenses, and Dallas's defense also struggles a little bit when they go on the road against good offenses. So this is actually, I think, a good spot for Buffalo to attack them. And we've seen the last couple of weeks, Deron Bland started guarding DK Metcalf to start that Seattle game, and DK Metcalf stole his lunch. So they swapped at halftime, and they put Gilmore on Metcalf because Gilmore's not as fast of a guy, but he's more physical and more technical. Whereas Deron Bland kind of plays with instinct and likes to jump routes a lot, like Trayvon Diggs does actually as well. So, you know, Bland can kind of get burned by that, but Gilmore can play with the bigger receivers, which I think is why Philly and Seattle struggled once they made that switch to putting Gilmore on those bigger receivers, which Gilmore pretty much shut down AJ Brown last week and pretty much shut down DK Metcalf in the second half 2 weeks ago. So if they put Gilmore on Diggs, I actually think that's the kind of receiver that Gilmore can struggle with, because Diggs is really nuanced with his route running and isn't as much of a physical, big physical guy, which is kind of where Gilmore has offset the opposing receivers the last couple weeks. So I really like Diggs here at 8,400. And this is the cheapest he's been since week five. And we know that the role is there. The upside is there. Him being 8,400, he no longer has to score you 30 points. You know, you're totally fine if he gets you 25 plus. So I'm in on Diggs this week. I already mentioned I really like Cooper Kupp, 7,800. I like the Rams a lot. And same with Puka at 7,300. I think you can play both of them. I think you play one of them. The whole Rams pass offense is in play. Debo Samuel continues to run hot from a touchdown standpoint. If his touchdowns go to McCaffrey this week, or maybe Kittle catches a touchdown or Ayuk catches a touchdown, we could see a more popular Debo, you know, kind of struggle to get there from a price standpoint, considering he's finally priced up at 7,700. He hasn't been 7K at all this year, and now he's almost 8K. So I think Debo is too volatile for me to want to play him at his current price tag. And that's not to say he's a bad play. I just don't think that he makes sense with his current price tag, given how hot he has to run from a touchdown standpoint to be able to pay that off. Because he touched the ball, you know, only seven times against Philly, and three of those times were for touchdowns. So, you know, the ceiling's there, but his ceiling always comes from a two or three touchdown game, which again is definitely possible against Arizona. But I think McCaffrey gets it this week. So I'll be off Debo due to his price. Moving down the list, there's not a ton to like in the 6K to 7K range. So I'll probably avoid that range for the most part. And then once we get down into below 6K, again, I like Dobbs. I'm not sure if you have the balls to go to McLaurin after his goose egg last week, but 5,600 for a guy in an offense that should be trailing, I think you have to have interest there, considering he has been their number one guy all year and finally put up a dud. Brandon Cooks continues to be involved in the Cowboys offense. He didn't practice today, but that was due to an illness. So he should be good to go for Sunday, I would assume. Noah Brown is another one that's interesting. If CJ Stroud plays, I guess even if he doesn't, I mean, Davis Mills isn't awful. But if Noah Brown becomes the number one wide receiver, if Nico Collins were to be out, considering Tank Dell is also going to be out, and he's 5K, and we've seen the ceiling that he has and the rapport that he has with CJ Stroud. So if Stroud were to play, I really like Noah Brown as well in that 5K range. But that's pretty much it for me. If Wicks were to be out, I already mentioned Malik Heath at 3K. He would slot into that third wide receiver at min price, and he would definitely become interesting to me. But outside of that, I'm not sure if DeMarcus Robinson is going to be chalk. I'm not sure I want any part of that. I know he had 10 targets last week, but Tutu Atwell is currently questionable, but he's practicing in limited fashion with a concussion, so there's still a chance that he can come back and play. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me from a wide receiver standpoint.
Yeah, so I think a couple of things just to kind of point out the things that you've kind of hit on. One, I think when you look at this matchup if you're trying to decide, I think it's tough to really, honestly, when it comes to Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. But I will say Brandon Ayuk, really, I mean, Debo Samuel has been phenomenal against zone coverage this year. The Cardinals play zone coverage at the fourth highest rate in the league. And so, and when you look at it too, they've also in zone coverage, they have allowed a first down or a touchdown on 43% of zone coverage snaps, which is by far the worst mark in the league. And Debo Samuel is top five in fantasy points per route run against zone coverage. He's also has a 3.43 yards per route run as well against zone coverage, which also ranks top five. Now, Brandon Ayuk isn't too far behind in that department. He has a 2.86 yards per route run in terms of against zone coverage as well. So he's also very good against zone. But Debo Samuel does see a higher target rate against zone coverage this year at 25% compared to 20% for Brandon Ayuk. In terms of that, when you look at against man coverage, Brandon Ayuk is the man coverage beater for them, because Brandon Ayuk sees a 27% target share against man coverage, and Debo Samuel actually only sees a 15% target share against man coverage. So this does set up to be a very good matchup once again for Debo Samuel here. So I think that is something you could definitely look at. I lean towards Debo Samuel again, even though it's tougher because he is obviously he's going to be more popular because of the run he's been on. He's been running incredibly hot as of recently. But I do think that he still makes for a really solid play, even though he is priced up. And then when it comes to this matchup against the Cowboys, the Cowboys run man coverage at the fourth highest rate in the league. And Gabe Davis has been terrible against man coverage, where Stephon Diggs has seized a 26% target share against man coverage, where Gabe Davis only sees a 14% target share, which is right in line with guys like Trent Sherfield and Khalil Shakir. So I think that is something to keep in mind here when it comes to this. If you're looking to, you know, maybe get leverage off of like Stephon Diggs and drop down to play because you want action on this game and to play Gabe Davis. But Gabe Davis has been terrible. I mean, he's managed a 0.22 fantasy points per route run, which is tied for 80th. He has a 60.9 receiving grade, which is 80th among all wide receivers, and a point or a 1.06 yards per route run, which is 85th versus man coverage. So this is a very bad matchup for Gabe Davis. And so I do think Stephon Diggs makes the most sense here as a pay-up option in this matchup here. So I wanted to point those options out as well in terms of what you could be looking to do. I also think Shakir makes a lot of sense here. He is somebody I think you could get at, you know, at probably decent ownership. I don't think he's going to be somebody that's going to be popular. He's only $3,800. And so I do like, if you want to pay down, you're looking for a pay down spot, Khalil Shakir could be that guy, because I just don't think it's going to be Gabe Davis. He's kind of a fade for me. I'm not playing him here. And then in terms of the other options, I think DJ Moore continues to be underpriced. $6,900. He should be up in the upper 7, if not the 8K range of wide receiver. He has been phenomenal in games with Justin Fields. He's averaging over 20 DK points with Justin Fields on the season. And $6,900, DJ Moore. And we'll have to wait and see, but you know, you mentioned Cleveland, but Cleveland's missing a lot of their pieces on this defense. This is not the same defense that we've been seeing. I think that you can definitely see DJ Moore get there. You know, we'll even have to see if I can't think of his name in the corner that they have. Denzel Ward, if he's able to play. He's missed time. Juan Thornhill missed last week. You already mentioned Delpit, who's also their second in their secondary, one of their safeties. He could miss time. So DJ Moore is in an absolute smash spot here against Cleveland. And so $6,900 DJ Moore is still just incredibly too cheap. We went there last week. He paid off, putting up 27 DK points. I think he can get close to that again this week. So I do like him as well here in this spot as another option here. I think you could look at in the 6K range. Rashee Rice, $6,100. He's been phenomenal. We're starting to see him get more and more involved within this offense for the Chiefs. Didn't quite get there last week. Wasn't bad. Saw 10 targets, 7 catches. 72 yards and a touchdown, almost 20 DK points there. But I definitely think, you know, he is in play as well as another pay down or as another option that's a little bit cheaper. He is being priced up a little bit, but nothing compared to what I think he should be. And then from there, you already mentioned Jaden Reed, especially if Christian Watson misses, which is, I don't think Christian Watson plays, but Jaden Reed at $4,900. They're also utilizing him in the rush as a runner as well. Had another 4 carries, 38 yards, another rushing touchdown. He has 2 rushing touchdowns over his last 4 games. So they are utilizing him there. He did see 10 targets without Christian Watson on the field. So I think he is the number one target here for Jordan Love. And $4,900 is just incredibly too cheap. But if you want leverage off Jaden Reed, because I do suspect Jaden Reed is going to carry some pretty heavy ownership at his price, I do think you could look at Romeo Doubs. So Romeo Doubs has not been as involved, but he did see 7 targets last week, 4 catches, 32 yards against the Giants. So here against the Bucs. So you could look at Romeo Doubs, a little bit of leverage off of that. So other than that, if you're looking for, you know, I think that that's kind of, other than the guys you already mentioned, I'm not playing Tyreek Hill at $9,900. If it was a different, you know, if we were looking at something a little bit different here, the Jets have also been phenomenal against pass catch, against defenses, right? I mean, we have seen with this defense, you know, they've shut down multiple really good teams, really good quarterbacks, right? They kind of did so with Houston last week, but obviously C.J. Stroud got knocked out, but they shut down the Chiefs. They shut down the Bills. Like, they've done a really good job. I don't think – I know the last time these two teams played, you know, Tyreek had over 100 yards. Waddle had over 100 yards. But with this weather, I don't want to go there. Tyreek Hill's also nursing some injuries here as well. He hasn't been practicing, but he did – I think Tyreek Hill did say that he will play. But it could be on somewhat of a limited role, right? Depending on how this weather plays out. So $9,900, I'll just be off that as well. So, you know, I think that's kind of the direction I'm going to head. In terms of like really cheap wide receivers down here, one that I'm kind of monitoring this week, but is Michael Wilson. He's $3,300 for the Cardinals. He's, you know, he's been out for multiple weeks dealing with an injury. It was a shoulder injury. He's back now getting limited reps, limited practices in. Kyler Murray talked about him this week, said he's really excited about having him back and thinks that he could be a huge part of their offense. But, you know, Michael Wilson was somebody that was earlier in the season that was seeing, you know, pretty decent target share, had, you know, 3 or 4 straight weeks of at least 50 yards receiving, had that big game against San Francisco. The last time these two teams played, 7 catches, 76 yards and 2 touchdowns. for 26 DraftKings points the last time they played, but he's $3,300. So if he plays, I'm going to have a lot of interest in Michael Wilson as a pay down option. And I think that can be a way that you kind of open up to be able to play the 49ers and some of their more expensive pass catchers to be able to play somebody like Michael Wilson at $3,300. So I do like that as well. Other than that, in the pay down spot, like I said, I'm not playing DeMarcus Robinson. I think he's going to be way too popular, and no thanks for that. Like, I get it, the performance he put up last week, but, and then, you know, another pay down option I think could be Wan'Dale Robinson. He had a pretty solid game the last week, 7 targets, 6 catches, 79 yards there in that game. I think he also scored a touchdown, but he had 17.5 DK points, but he's only $3,700. And then if you really wanted to get a little, I think you could look at somebody like a Jalin Hyatt, who's starting to get a little bit more involved within the offense, but he is more of a boomer bust type option. Had 5 catches, 109 yards a couple weeks ago before they went on bye. But Jalin Hyatt is another way, I think another pay down option. If you wanted to, you could look at something like that. Is there any other wide receivers you want to hit on?
No, I think we pretty much covered it.
All right. So let's move over to tight end. I think there's a lot to talk about here because you have Travis Kelce at $7,600, George Kittle at $58, Taysom Hill is $5,500, Dalton Kincaid is $53, Trey McBride's $52, Dalton Schultz is $49. Then you have Jake Ferguson at $48, Njoku, Kmet, Darren Waller, who does sound like he's going to be back, is $4,400. And then you have Kyle Pitts, Logan Thomas, and some other options here in the 3K range. But who are you looking to get out of tight end?
Oh man, I agree. This is a really interesting position this week. If you throw out the matchup with San Francisco, Trey McBride he's the most talented tight end that's in the best spot at the cheapest price. When you factor in those three things, he's the best combined of those three factors, but he's not in a good matchup. So As a big Trey McBride guy, they're going to be trailing. I mean, you have to have interest in him at 5,200. I mean, he just continues to smash week in and week out. You know, scores 25 points every other week, it seems like. So I have interest in McBride. I'm not sure people are going to play him, but I think that's a mistake. Like, I think if you're going to play like Cole Kmet at 4,500, who's in an interesting spot as well with Cleveland being without Grant Delpit, and they just you know, gave up a really big game to Evan Ingram last week as well. You know, Komet's interesting, but like if I'm paying 4,500 for Kmet, kind of want to just pay 700 more for McBride, for somebody who's got, you know, more of a locked in role and has consistently put up more production. I do like Kmet though. I will say that, especially if you're playing Fields, I like Kmet a lot. He dropped pretty much a wide open touchdown last week. He was on the way to having a really good week last week. While Fields is hot, you can absolutely play Fields and DJ Moore and Cole Kmet. So I do like him. The Njoku play is interesting, but I'm not sure I want to go back to that. I don't think Flacco is going to continue to just smash every single week. And like you mentioned, when we talked about quarterbacks and you brought up Flacco briefly, Chicago has actually been a really good defense this year, surprisingly. You know, I think that it's going to be a lower scoring game. And Njoku both of his touchdowns were, you know, on just complete blown coverages. So yes, he had a big game, but at the same time, I'm not sure I want to chase that. And now he's priced up to 4,700. I just don't think Flacco is going to come out and throw, you know, a lot of touchdowns again. And so if Flacco only throws one TD, I'm just going to take the bet that I'm not confidently able to pick the one guy that touchdown goes to. And so if you play priced up David Njoku and he doesn't score, that can really hurt your lineup, even though he is seeing good volume. I would just rather play McBride or Kmet in that range. Logan Thomas is a very interesting and probably my favorite Washington run back to the Rams stack on the other side. 3,700 and the Rams haven't stopped the tight end all year. That's pretty much it. I like Brevin Jordan if regardless of who plays quarterback, if Schultz were to miss, but it's sounding like Schultz is going to play here. And Schultz is even interesting too. He may go overlooked this week, but if Nico Collins is out, Tank Dell is already out, Schultz could end up being the sneaky play of the slate here at tight end, coming back off injury. He doesn't even have a Q tag, actually. He practiced in full yesterday. So honestly, Schultz is really interesting at 4,900 against Tennessee. I'm not sure what your thoughts are there on him. I know it's probably not, it's not the best matchup in the world, but at the same time, I mean, he could be end up being target number one for whichever QB suits up for Houston.
I mean, I don't really, I mean, I guess you could, but it's just Davis Mills. Doesn't get me all that excited, to be honest with you.
It's the same argument I had for Njoku, right? The last 2 weeks was Joe Flacco doesn't really do much for me, so why would I play Njoku? So I guess I just kind of contradicted my own thinking there, which makes sense, right? Like, if Davis Mills is only going to throw one touchdown, like, how confident am I that it goes to Schultz? I'm not confident that it goes to Schultz, so I can't. Yeah, no, that's a good counterpoint.
Yeah. So I think one, you already mentioned, is Trey McBride. Like, Trey McBride has been phenomenal, this year, especially over the last, you know, 5 or 6 weeks of the season. I mean, the guy's seeing a 28% target share, which is since week 8. He is seeing a 28% target share, which is the most among all tight ends over that span. He's also fourth in yards per route run over that span as well. He is, even more so from there, if you look at some of his other stuff that he's been doing, he is eighth in yards per team pass attempt. He's seventh in yards per target. And then he's also, like I said, you know, top four in yards per route run. He's ninth in target separation. Like, the dude has been a monster. He has been right there among the best tight ends in the league. You know, he has 3 games with 20 or more DK points this year since week 8 as well. So he has been able to get there. He's smashed. I know they're playing the 49ers, but the 49ers pass defense doesn't scare me all that much, quite honestly. I think they can put up some points here against the 49ers. And so Trey McBride, even at his price tag, he's a little bit more expensive at $5,200, is just too cheap, I think, for what the upside that Trey McBride has. He just sees 9 or more targets in 3 of his last 4 games. I mean, it's hard not to love Trey McBride, even at $5,200 as an option here. Logan Thomas, 100% agree. The Rams have been just dreadful against tight ends this year. And so Logan Thomas, I think, makes for another really solid run back option if you're wanting to game stack that Rams game at his price at $3,700. I do think he gets steamed up a little bit. But just because I think if people are looking to save some money, you can do that with Logan Thomas. But other than that, you know, I think George Kittle is playable, like I already talked about, at $5,800. He's been really good as well. George Kittle also, since week 8, has a 24% target share. He's actually number 1 in yards per route run. He's number 1 in yards per target. He's number 1 in yards per reception. So it's kind of the way they utilize him. And so I do think you can look there. He's also number 1 in yards after the catch per reception since week 8 as well. So George Kittle at $5,800, I think he could smash that price. And, you know, as well as another option, if you wanted to look at here, instead of, you know, if you're wanting to double stack, you know, Brock Purdy, you know, instead of playing both the Ayuk or Debo Samuel, I think you pick one and then go to George Kittle. I think you could do that as well, at the tight end position. Other than that, you know, I would have had probably some interest in Davis Allen had Tyler Higbee looked like he was going to miss, but it looks like Tyler Higbee will be back in this game. I mean, we saw Davis Allen, you know, get a little bit involved here. He had 5 targets, 50 yards and a score, you know, and he's $3,300, but now with them back, I don't think you need to do that. And like I said, Tucker Kraft at 3K against Tampa Bay is, I think he could easily, you know, he had 4 catches, 64 yards. He didn't find the end zone. He only has 1 touchdown on the season. That's the only frustrating part with him. But, you know, in a spot here against the Bucs, you know, I think Tucker Kraft at 3K, if you're wanting a pay down spot, I think is really intriguing. Along with, I think you could make an argument for a guy like Chig Okonkwo as well, but I just don't think the Texans can push the Titans to the point where they really feel like they need to throw the ball that much. And, you know, if you will let them, they will run the ball all day. So that's the only thing that would worry me about Chig, who's $2,900. But other than that, like, that's kind of where I'm coming in. I think Darren Waller is somewhat interesting at $4,400 because that price tag's pretty cheap. But I don't typically like to play players that are coming off injury just because that the chance of re-injury and stuff like that seems pretty high. But, you know, with the way Tommy DeVito's playing, you know, he could be a guy that gets peppered with targets, very much like an Evan Ingram type situation.
Hey, you played Patty Fry to the promised land coming off injury.
Yeah, but he was $2,900, so that's a little bit different in terms of paying $4,400. So, yes, I think that's kind of what I'm looking at. At tight end position. So let's go ahead and move over to defense, and let's just scroll down to the bottom.
Giants D.
Who?
Giants.
Yeah, I think they're in a really good spot. I think the Panthers are in a really good spot at $2,800. I also think the Jets, actually, if we're still going to see some of this weather issues, I think the Jets could be a one you could look at $2,500 too.
Yep.
Don't mind that either. So
yeah, if Tyreek were to get ruled out, I would just play the Jets.
Yeah, I think Tyreek plays, but they've said that he's probably, I think that Tyreek himself said that he was playing. So, but I think he plays, but I do agree. I think the Giants are a really good spot. They've been getting at after the quarterback a lot lately, especially with Wink Martindale out there, who loves to put pressure on them, and Derek Carr has no problem taking a bunch of sacks. So, and then I think if you wanted to, the Rams at $3,100, you know, obviously we know Sam Howell takes a massive amount of sacks. So, you could look at the Rams there as well as another option at $3,100.
Yep, so. I agree.
All right, well, that time for our favorite time, and that is to build a lineup here. So, Matty, start it off.
Let's go with the Chiefs stack. Let's go Jordan Love.
I thought you said the Chiefs stack. I was like, oh, I didn't see that coming. That came out of nowhere.
No, but cheap. Cheap. Definitely not Chiefs.
Okay.
I know where your head's at all times, though.
All right. Then I'm going to plug in Jordan Reed. Jaden Reed.
I was going to say, I think Jordan Reed still has a concussion.
Yeah, that man.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
would be nice to fill that tight end slot, though. Let's go Rashad White on the other side. I think he would be the buck that I would want to play if I was game stacking.
We're going to double stack. I'm going to go Tucker Kraft.
Okay.
3K. So do you want to just plug in the Giants defense to get him out of the way?
Yep, that works.
All right. So that leaves $6,500 remaining per player for running back, two wide receivers, and a flex.
Let's try to get McCaffrey in. And let's see where it takes us. I think you have to have San Fran exposure. I think not playing a 49er is kind of crazy. Because like I talked about Debo, right? Like being volatile with touchdowns. Like if they're not going to Debo, it's probably CMC because it's usually one of those two guys or it's like Kittle. And so one of those guys is going to score multiple touchdowns and will be optimal at their price tag. It's just tough to predict which one it's going to be. But like if you're not playing CMC, you should probably consider playing Debo is how I would look at San Fran. I just think CMC is going to score multiple times, so that's why I like CMC.
All right, we're going to do the rare double tight end. I'm going to go Trey McBride in the flex.
Okay.
So at least $5,800 remaining for two wide receivers per player.
Let's go.
Is there anybody in the $4,400 and below range that you like at wide receiver?
Are you? Did you put a Puka in?
I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, Robert Woods is in play. I wouldn't say I like him, but I'd be lying if he wasn't in consideration. Mingo is another one. ATL is a pretty good defense, though.
Yeah, especially outside wide receivers.
I mean, if Shaheed plays, he's got the highest ceiling of that group.
Yeah, he was limited.
We could play one of Samuel or Dotson and drop Giants down to Jets, which I'm cool with. Like Curtis Samuel.
You mean instead of playing McCaffrey?
No. Keep McCaffrey. It would be the team would be Love, Rashad White, McCaffrey, Puka, Curtis Samuel, Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, Trey McBride, Jets D. $0 remaining.
Oh, you mean not play Giants D? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
And who'd you say to play the Jets?
Uh-huh.
I do kind of like that.
It's a Puka Curtis mini. You've got a Trey CMC mini. And you've got Green Bay, Tampa Bay, full stack. The only game you don't have exposure to that's kind of a concern to not have exposure to would be Buffalo, Dallas. But I do like that team.
Yeah, that is nice. Yeah, that's the only spot that would really concern you.
Unless you wanted to play Michael Wilson instead of McBride and then up McBride's spot. And I mean, Curtis Samuel's spot.
Well, that does leave $6,300.
Thielen, Hopkins, Reishi, Robinson, Zeke, Kittle.
How much is Brandon Cooks?
52.
Could how do you feel about this then? So
Cooks and Diggs?
But what if you do Jordan Love, Rashad White, Christian McCaffrey, Jaden Reed, Puka Nacua, Khalil Shakir, Tucker Kraft, Brandon Cooks, and Giants D? Leaves 600 remaining. I mean, you could pay up somewhere else if you wanted to.
I'm good with that.
So you get exposure to that game.
The Wilson Diggs variation works too. Love, White, CMC, Diggs, Michael Wilson, Reed, Kraft, Cooks, Jets. That team feels thin though. I mean, I don't like that team as much as the Puka side. I think your variation's better.
So you want to lock that in? Love, White, McCaffrey, Reed, Nacua, Shakir, Kraft, Brandon Cooks, and Giants?
Yep, I'm good with that.
And it does leave you some wiggle room if you want to do something different. Like, if you honestly, you could come off of Kraft and probably go up to Logan Thomas and just drop down to the Jets defense, and that would leave you with like 100 left to get a little mini if you wanted to do that. With that Rams game, you could do that. But I'm fine with double stacking Jordan Love here in this spot. So I do like that team. You get exposure to, you know, the two highest price games or the two highest total games on the slate, with little mini stacks there, and then still getting Jordan Love, who kind of opens things up at this stack. Yep. Because Reed and Kraft allow you to pretty much kind of do what you want there. So could also not play McCaffrey and then, you know, play like a Debo or a Ayuk and then save some there too as well. Kind of free up some salary. So I do like that. So I think there's a lot of different ways you can go here with this stack, with the Jordan Love stack. And I don't think he's going to be nearly as popular as Stafford is, because Stafford seems to be the guy that everybody's talking about this week. So,
which is, it's crazy because Green Bay, it's such a cheap stack across the board. I don't know. They're not even going to have any running backs.
And it's all matchup, right?
And it's matchup. I don't know.
The funny thing is that the Bucs have been just as bad against opposing defenses.
Yeah. I don't know. So it seems obvious to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm.
I think the only thing that people have a problem with probably is that obviously the Kua and, you know, Cup, their ceilings are so high versus like the Packers, where, you know, other than that. So, all right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. So, I'll say it's just to start Will Levis or Minshew. I'm going to go Minshew. What is this, Tyler? McBride is in trouble this week. You either have faith in the Cardinals or the number one defense in the NFL. The 49ers are the number one defense.
McBride's a beast.
Yeah, McBride has been phenomenal.
He's a beast.
Yeah. So, and we've seen, I mean,
he's what the Chiefs wish Travis Kelce could be.
Oh, here we go. But, yeah, I don't know. I think the Cardinals could surprise people. You know, the Cardinals knocked off the Cowboys, didn't they?
They did, and they didn't get – what was it last – well, no, it was last week that Seattle didn't get blown out by San Fran and what everybody was projecting to be a blown-out.
Yeah,
blown out.
With
Drew Lock starting.
Yeah. So
it seems like games we've expected to blow out, with the exception of all the Cowboys games, haven't necessarily gone the way that they should. Like, Dolphins were favored by a million, and they just lost to Tennessee. I don't know.
Yeah, it's been a really weird year. That's why, like, it's a lot of showdowns, like what everybody's projecting to be like ugly games. I'm like, nope, I'm going the full on, no defenses. I'm just going straight offense here, and it has paid off so often. Even tonight was that. I mean, a lot of people thought this game was going to be super gross, super, you know, low scoring game, two backup quarterbacks, like nobody wanted to play it. Keenan Allen was out, and look what happened. I mean, I know that, you know, 63-21, obviously, you know, some of that was a little bit different, but still, I mean, a lot of points were scored from this game, and this is kind of how the way this year's gone. And the games that you think they're going to shoot out don't, and the ones that we think are going to be gross end up not being all that as gross as we thought they were going to be. So welcome to the NFL. So, all right, let's go ahead and get out of here. It's wrapping up this week 15. Hope everybody has a good weekend, week before Christmas. So get the Christmas shopping done and then settle in for a long weekend of football, because we also have that 3-game slate on Saturday from noon till the evening. So not the greatest of games. I think the Broncos and Lions could end up being the best. That game could be some fun to watch, the nightcap. But the other two games aren't nearly as exciting to watch. But football is football at this point. I promise you, once March and April gets here and there's no football, you would take whatever the ugliest game you could imagine is in the NFL, and you would take it all day. Like the Pittsburgh and Patriots game, we were talking about that. Like, everybody was complaining about that game and how gross that game was. But I promise you, once you get to like April, you'd beg for that game to be on TV right now. So
I don't know. I don't know if I'd watch the Vikings Raiders game from last week, the 3-0 game. I don't know that I could watch that in March.
That's fair. That's fair. I guess that game. But I don't know. I'd still probably watch it. I'd still take it over nothing. So anyways, hope everybody has a good weekend. Let's put some money. Let's put some some cash in your pocket before Christmas gets here, so you can buy that fancy present you're looking to buy for Christmas gets here. So let's have a good weekend. And we will talk to you again next week. Bye. Think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? Well, you better get used to the way the war back. I see what you got, adventures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a brace, boy. Yeah, that's a brace, little man. Break it down. Tell me what to do.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.